Would you welcome Ron Hairston tonight?
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Amen. All the time. And all the time. God is what? He's good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so very good. Yes, you have been so very good. You've been so very good that I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. Thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thine be the glory. And hallelujah, amen. And hallelujah, thine be the glory. Hallelujah, amen. I gotta say it again now. Hallelujah, thine be the glory. And hallelujah, amen. And hallelujah, thine be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Just morning, and I said, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Somebody help me sing it. I want to say, thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. Thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You know, that sounds sweet in the ears of the Lord when you speak that from your heart. It's just so sweet to him when he hears you say thank you, because he knows that's a voluntary act of your own will. Nobody can force you to say thank you. It's something that you do, praise God. And when you do that, amen, he is pleased when you just tell him thank you. Sometimes we just got to just get up in the morning instead of asking for things, just say, raise our hands and say, you know, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. I'm getting happy now. Thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. The Lord wanted me to remind you, as y'all was praising and singing the Lord, singing praise to God, and we were singing all together. Even my walk today and just talking to God, and God wanted me to remind you. And it's not a news flash, it's just something that's a reminder. Because sometimes we just need to be reminded. Is that all right? And he said, the devil wants you discouraged. That's what he said. The devil's doing all he can to discourage not just the people of God, but discourage the people that are in the earth. Yes. Yes. Are y'all hearing me? People more disgruntled and discouraged more now than ever. And they're acting out their emotions by shooting, cutting, whatever they need to do. Praise God. And God says the devil wants us to be discouraged. I'm so glad that's not all he said. He said, but. Now, if you took English like I did, but means, amen, it's not a period, it's a continuation. After the statement has already been given, there's another statement will be given beyond the but. The B-U-T. Is that all right? He said, but I want you encouraged. God said, I want to encourage you. That's what he said. So we have a choice to figure out which side of the but are we going to receive. I'm going to have you laughing tonight, praise God. Is that all right? Because a merry heart maketh what? It's good like a medicine, praise God. Some of the devil has, listen, I've been telling people when I get a chance, Christians or believers, born again believers, you should be the most happiest person on the planet. Is that all right? It's because we have faith in the word and faith in God. And because of our faith, he honors that because, you know, faith is the currency of the kingdom. I ain't even preaching yet, but I just want to give you this word. Is that all right? And what God is trying to get us to understand, there's two things working in the earth, and you have to choose which side of the butt you're going to receive. Are you going to keep receiving discouragement and information from the devil, or are you going to switch and come on over here and just, you know what, I'm going to receive encouragement from God. When I wake up in the morning, I have to make a decision. Am I going to receive encouragement from the Lord, or am I going to be discouraged from the devil? You cannot be on both sides. You can be one or the other. You can flip back and forth, but eventually you're going to end up on the side that you, what, pay more attention to. Does that make any sense? So I'm grateful and I'm thankful for being here to share that word with you. And he told me, amen, as he said that, he said, it's raining. It's raining. You know what rain means? Rain is a form of blessings. In other words, God is raining his blessings on the children of God, but we won't get in a position by faith to receive it because we get interference, and the interference, amen, is the enemy trying to keep us distracted from receiving what God says by faith. Somebody said by faith. See, it ain't by feelings, it's by faith. And God's faith is his word. We talked about our faith. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But God's faith is his word. And here, God cannot lie. And a delay does not mean a denial. We like putting God on our time schedule. All right, God, you promised it. Where is it at? Now, I said that because before I actually get into the prayer, I want us to pray, amen. I had a chance to talk to Frances Jones today about her daughter, amen. And she has been diagnosed with cancer, but we know that by Jesus' stripes she is. And I was trying to get something crossed to her that I think would be good for you. What is Frances' daughter's first name? What's her name? I know her last name is Lee. Jerry Lee, right? Larry Lee? Okay, yeah. So we remember that name. Say that again if you. Jerry Lee Mason, that's her name. Jerry Lee Mason. Amen. Y'all got that? Because I'm going to give you an assignment. Amen. Now, I was talking to Francis today, and most people don't get this revelation, but I'm going to give this to you today for free. Touch your neighbor, it won't cost you anything. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I told her, trying to build her faith up to encourage her, to let her know that Jesus said that by his stripes we're healed. So he healed us 2,000 years ago. Is that all right? So when we're sick, healing is already in you. We usually pray, God, can you heal them? Well, that's not the prayer to pray. You shouldn't be praying to God, heal them. If they already have healing inside of them, we should be praying that God manifest the healing. Is that all right? For him to manifest, bring it to light. Bring it out, amen. It's there, bring it out, God, amen. Let it come out and your glory come out with it, and then everything will change. So I told her, I said, I don't know what God is doing with this, but I do know this, is that I told her this for comfort. Either way, we want her to be here and be healed, but if the manifestation takes place after she leaves, she's still healed. Is that making any sense? And you know what? She got the light bulb turned on. She said, oh, I think I got it now. Yeah, I said, that's what we're believing God for. I said, we're not praying that God heal her, because by his stripes, she's already, come on, talk to me tonight. Amen. He said, now if Jesus said she's already healed, who's lying up in here? Praise God. So, yeah, that's right. So that means because we're looking at the sickness and we just look at the sickness. As we more we look at the sickness, it paralyzes us because we're not in faith to believe that she's already healed. And now instead of looking at the sickness, we should be praying God manifest the healing so that the sickness can leave. Oh, I'm preaching up in here already. Praise God. Amen. I feel like running around and hitting somebody on top of their head. Praise God. Now, what am I saying in regards to that? This is what I'm really saying. Tonight, I need you to agree with me that we're now going to pray that God manifest the healing in her. Is that all right? Manifest healing. That's what we pray. Pray for Francis. I told her she was trying to be all strong. I said, ain't no time for you to be strong. Because the Bible said, let the weak... There's a difference. See, when we weak, God can make us strong. When we're strong, we're trying to hold up ourselves. That don't work very well. I tried it, and it just didn't work. But it's okay in our frailty and in our humanness that we sometimes we're just not there where God said we need to be by faith. But that's, you know what? It's okay because God is there to uphold us. Can y'all say that? So tonight, in our prayer before I actually get started in the Word, and I got one more scripture I want to read to you about the encouragement piece. I just needed you to meditate on that for just a minute, and we'll come back to that. Is all right? This is the prayer. This is the Word God told me to give you, the Word from the Lord concerning the two sides of the butt. Is that all right? Because it's a promise, amen. Number one, the devil does not go on vacation. He ain't gonna leave you alone. Hello? Hello? I told myself, when she go on vacation, he let me know when he go on vacation. I'll take vacation too. But here's the thing. He's always doing what he's been designed to do is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have. And see, there's the other side of that butt again, see. So this is what God told me to read to you. And this is a word of promise that he gave his disciples, but he's also giving it us today. And after I read this, then we're going to pray for our beloved sister here. And I believe that we're going to pray that God will manifest the healing that's needed in her. Praise God. Is that all right? It's found in John 16 and 33. He said, I have told you these things. I'm reading out of the Amplified. And this says here in John 16 and 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And he said, in the world you will have tribulation. Somebody say tribulation. And trials. Somebody say trials. Somebody say distress. And frustration. But, there it is again. That's an anointed but, I tell you. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain. Undaunted. For I have overcome the world, and I have deprived of this power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. That's his promise, not only to them, but also to us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you even now. We thank you, Father, for our beloved sister, Jerry, God. We thank you even now that we pray that you would just manifest the healing, God. Manifest the healing that's inside of her. Amen. You said a Christ is already in her by faith. Amen. Amen. We don't understand all the dynamics of that, but when we receive you, you said you will not reject those who receive you. Amen. You will come and abide in us, Father. So we're calling on that promise alone, not more her merits or what she's done and haven't done. We're standing on the promise of her confession that she did receive you as Lord and Savior. Amen. And we believe even now that you manifest the healing that's needed inside of her. We bind the spirit of discouragement. Close the mouth of the enemies, God. We need a miracle, amen, to come forth in that room, amen. Showcase your glory and your strength, God. Give her the strength to receive her healing in her spirit now in Jesus' name. And we thank you even now that the miracle will break forth, God. We thank you even now as this prayer is being released. You said if we pray the prayer of faith, you would heal the sick, God. And we pray tonight collectively, and amen, we agree that it's done now in Jesus' name. name. Now, angels, go forth now and do the ministry that's needed for her. God, we give you praise. Uphold Frances today. Help her, encourage her, strengthen her, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity that you've given us to pray even now concerning her in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we shift this prayer, we pray for this meeting tonight. Amen. We thank you that you move by your Spirit, God. You're already moving, God. We've already given you thanks. We've already done many things, collected the offering, God. Encourage one another. Amen. And we're just excited to be here because you've just said this is the place that we need to be. Now pour out your Spirit, God. Encourage, strengthen, build up, God. Amen. Rebuke the adversary, God. Change the season that we're in, God. Let peace and prosperity overtake us, God. Move in ways that we're not even aware of, God. Let us be changed just by the spoken word. And Lord, we forever give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Glory to God. Well, I got one more night with you, and I'm so glad I hadn't been in a hurry. Amen. I've been doing just what he told me to do, and then I'll sit down like I always do. Praise God. Because when he's done, I'm done. I'm done. Amen. Praise God. We've been talking about godly vision is needed. Y'all been hearing that? Godly vision is needed. Amen. Especially in the time that we're living in now. Godly vision is very much needed. Amen. Now, we're talking about godly vision is developed by what? Receiving God's word. Receiving God's word. Now, one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight, amen, godly vision, amen, is needed for even claiming our rights. We have to have godly vision in order to claim the rights that God has for us. Now, the one scripture we'll look at, we talked about last night, and we'll pick it up again. It's over in the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, amen, we're going to look at chapter number one, and look at the prayer that, amen, that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. I mean, and it's amazing that he says here in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 15, 16, and 17, and 18, and we'll stop right there. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody say faith, amen, and love unto all the saints. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He said that God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge in him. Somebody say, in him. Amen. Then it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling and his calling and what is the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. Remember we mentioned last night, in order for you to get an inheritance, somebody has to die. Amen. Jesus died and he left us an inheritance. Not only in this earth, but also in the earth to come. Is that all right? Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Who's going to be the new residents? I'm going to be one of them. Praise God. Did you claim your right already? Amen. Praise God. If you're looking for somebody to tell you, then you don't have one I'm talking about. Praise God. But what am I saying here tonight? I am actually repeating what he said, amen, that there's an inheritance that God has given us here as children of God. Amen. Now, Jesus died, and we talked about when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Amen. How many know when it's finished, it's finished? Yes. Praise God. So everything is in its proper place for the children of God, those who receive him by faith. To many as receive him, them he gave the power, the privilege, and the right to become the children of God. We are the children of God. Amen. You should say it proud and loud. I'm a child of God. Praise God. And not be ashamed of it. Some people are ashamed because they're afraid somebody might ask them what that means. What does that mean? But we know that we are children of God. Now, here's the thing I want you to get tonight, amen, as we move forward, amen. The Bible says, because it says by faith, he said, I've heard of your faith. Remember we talked about our faith is what? Consists of three things. So our faith has to deal with, our confidence in God, our confession in God, and our obedience in God. God gave that to me one day because what God wants to do, he wants to take, amen, the spookiness or the mystery off of what he's saying so the application of which comes with instructions can be applied to the individual so we can get the results that we need. Remember we talked about last night that the Word of God is really full of instructions. Amen. People, amen, wants to go skip the instructions, but we need the instructions because the instructions prepare us and get us in position to receive. Right now, the devil wants you out of position, but all God, Jesus, through his blood and his spirit and his word, amen, he's putting us back into position to receive what he has for us. Can y'all say amen? Now, this is important for you to hear this, because what God's simply saying now, we have to get this message, and it's found and talked about faith, because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says the just shall live by faith or walk by faith. The problem that the church is having, we don't understand faith and how it applies to us. Remember, God's faith is a promise. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 says all the promises are in him and who? Jesus, are yea and amen. So God gives us promises, amen, in this life that we need. You need food, you need raiment, you need clothing, amen. God's not concerned about a new house, a new home, amen. He you know what? He wants to lavish us with all those things. But he's not going to do that if we don't follow the prescription he's given us, where it says, first of all, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, come on now, and all these other things he would add unto you. When he says things, he's not talking about things in heaven. He's talking about the things we need here on earth that's found over in Matthew, amen, Matthew chapter number 6. It's interesting when in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus says 5 times in his teaching, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Then he goes and said, listen, even the lilies of the field, amen, feel, amen, they grow, amen, they toil, amen. He said, listen, God, he clothed them, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little? Because now we have to put our confidence in God's word and find out what we need to do to agree with him, so he can manifest the thing that says rightfully ours. Is that all right? Because that's what he's trying to teach us, trying to get us in position so we can receive what God says is rightfully ours, not when we get to heaven, but right now. In 1 Timothy 4:7, don't turn there. I'm just laying some foundation. I feel like I got my motor running, praise God. But listen, 1 Timothy 4:8, it says physical training is of some value. Somebody say some value. It says spiritual training is of some value, but it says spiritual training is valuable in all things. Listen, and it holds the promises of this life and the life which is to come. Y'all can check it out later. That's 1 Timothy 4:8. What is it simply saying? Listen, it says physical training is of some value, but it says spiritual training, woo, glory to God, is valuable to all things. And it said it holds the promises of this life and the life that is to come. So the prerequisite to get the blessings that God has for us in this life and the next is called spiritual training. So we got to get in spiritual shape. Yeah, to get in spiritual shape has a lot to do with your appetite. Your appetite. I said your appetite. You have to have the right appetite, even in the natural. You can say that you're getting in training physically, getting your body physically trained, but if you don't have the right appetite, you war against yourself. You run 5 miles, but then you eat all that chicken and greens and some cornbread, you defeated the purpose. Come on, am I talking right today? Y'all better help me tonight, because I told you you're going to be laughing before we get up out of here tonight, praise God. And what is God saying, amen? You cannot take natural things, come on here, and have a natural appetite and expect to get spiritual progress because you're eating naturally, but you won't eat spiritually by the word. Come on now. So right now the enemy, he's fighting us to get back to the book, back to the Bible, amen, back to the truth that I found in the Bible, because he know it will work if we will apply it to our heart, to our minds, to our mouth, and our walk. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now it's interesting for you and I to understand, the Bible says, and the devil knows this scripture, and it's found over in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, don't turn there for time's sake, glory to God. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, the devil, he likes to pick things apart. He don't look for the positive of the scripture. Come on now. He's looking for the negative part of the scripture. Because it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Now, he has a problem with that, because what he's going to do is look at the part that you can't finish the rest. So he picks the part without faith. So he said, if I can take the faith out of the believer, glory to God, they won't have the pursuit to continue after God. And therefore, they will question whether he is God, and to the degree whether or not they want to follow God. Because there are a lot of people jumping ship right now because what? They're questioning their walk and their relationship with God. Does that make any sense? And the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he can't have it. He wants it, but he can't have it. Because what? Even though when we fail, God, amen, he has a way of picking us up when we don't even know we've been picked up. All I know, you know, y'all heard of that poem about the footprints in the sand? You know, guys walking, you know, seen two footprints, him walking. It's him and Jesus walking, you know. And after a while, they walked so long, he got tired. He looked around. He didn't see any more footprints. He seen one footprint. And he said, you know, he looked. He said, that's my footprint, you know. Where's God? All that. And God had to rebuke him. He said, no. He said, you fainted a long time ago. That's me. That's my footprint, you see. I'm carrying you. How many know it's by faith that you are where you are right now? Yes. And faith will lead us on. Yes. But it's your faith that will lead you on. God's faith is already finished in Christ. He needs you to establish and build up your spirit, man, so you can build up your confidence in God. You need more confidence in God more now than never, ever. Because the things that are facing, the Bible said they just walk by what? Faith and not by what? Sight. We're having a problem because we're looking at it. We're looking too much and not looking at what God says, because faith is not just seeing. Faith is having intellectual knowledge of God's word. So the more you know, so basically if I'm saying this is a good example. If you know Debbie and myself, we were going to catch a bus, and I looked at the schedule. The bus started, it said it would be there at 6 a.m., and she didn't read the schedule, but she got there at 5:30. I did too, because she didn't read the schedule. It was 5:45, and she didn't see the bus, so she got discouraged, and she left. What kept me from leaving? I read the schedule. Y'all ain't hear me? Because I read it, I knew that they had, it ain't even 6 yet, so I just need to be in position so I can get on the bus. Some people, amen, are assuming things about God and have left their position in God, their relationship with God, left their prayer, left their fasting, left their church, left their fellowship, and trying to act like they don't even know who God is because they haven't believed what God says concerning his word. Can y'all say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, we need to stay in faith now. Now tonight, what we're going to talk about tonight is prophetically, God is calling us. I like this. Because he's not just calling one or two people. He's calling us. There's a call in the spirit. Calling us to a place of consistency. To be consistent. Somebody said to be consistent. Now we want to be consistent in one thing, in your faith. To be consistent in your faith. Now when I say this word faith, your faith always ties you to your relationship. This is important because you need to, you have to protect your relationship in God. You have to protect it. You have to protect it because why? If you don't protect it, amen, the enemy will deceive you and have you walk away from your relationship and you don't even know it. And what am I saying? I know this. It's about relationship more than what I do for God. God told me this today. He said, listen, if more people weren't concerned about who got the credit, because more people do things to see if they can get the credit. And when they don't get the credit, they what? They get disgruntled. And then the person that does get the credit, they talk about them. Y'all ever been around them kind of people? Just keep looking forward, smiling, amen. I was there one day. God had to deliver me, praise God, amen. Because it wasn't about, amen, what we can do to receive glory for ourselves. It's about pressing into the relationship that God has given you and me, that he's our father, my God. God is our father. Not only that, but we're his children. And with that, we're now under, as I said last night, we're under his government. And the government of God's word, Ecclesiastes 8:4, it says, where the word of the king is, there's power. So we have received power through covenant, through the blood of Jesus Christ, to walk in a world, amen, that can't touch us, but yet we walk in and revealing his glory if we stay in relationship with him. Does that make any sense? So relationship means you also be in relationship with other believers. I don't understand it. Some people say, I love the Lord, and I love God, and you know what? It's just me and God, but they don't want to be around no people. I don't understand that. And then they're talking about going to heaven. They're going to be full of people. Still don't understand it. But they can't get along with people because why? If you stay in relationship with God, long enough, he'll put love in you for people. We got people preaching the word and don't love people. They love that money. Put that money out of your pocket. Oh, God bless you, sister. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. But do they really, listen, when you love what you do, listen, you don't perform. You just be who God called you to be. That's why, where I go, I just be what God called me to be. Somebody looking at, look at this guy. I said, but if they keep looking at me, they're going to see I'm in a relationship with something. And it ain't me. It ain't my title, amen. It ain't what people call me, amen. Because when I leave, I still need that relationship with God. When you leave, you still need that relationship with God. Is that making any sense? There's a calling to becoming constant in our faith, amen. So the constant, to be constant simply means the quality of being faithful. We don't have people faithful to the ministry, but people not even faithful to God. It's hard for them to pray. It's hard for them to pray. It's hard for them to say, even raise your hand and say thank you. It's hard for them to raise your hand because their vision is on something other than what God has done for them in their relationship. Touch your neighbor and say, don't lose sight of your relationship with God. So listen, the quality of being faithful is one word, dependency. Faithful points to being dependent. Faithful means you're dependent. And this is talking about your relationship. If you're going to be faithful to God, that means you're dependent upon God for everything. Everything. So we have to develop that mindset for that. And that's practice. I have to practice not to worry, but to pray. I said I have to pray. Y'all ain't hear me? Y'all just think, well, he just don't worry. I know. Worry comes just like to all of us. But I have to choose whether I'm going to cast all my cares upon him or I'm going to cast this worry upon me, and then I'm going to lose sight of the day that the Lord has made, and then I'm going to be frustrated, and if you don't talk to me the right way, amen, sometimes I won't even open my mouth. I just look at you like you're crazy, and then I keep on moving because, you know, my mind is on the wrong thing. Man, when your mind is on the wrong thing, you can't really receive what God has for you because your mind has to be on the right thing, and the right thing has to deal with what he says about you and how he blessed you, amen, to see this day, and he says, listen, doesn't matter what come your way, if you won't worry, amen, and pray, because worrying is more just thought. Worry is being you tell others about what you're worrying about, amen. But it's a good thing when you can tell God, amen, what you're worrying about and let him cast all your worries upon him, and then he can work it out for you. If you don't move the problem away from you, at least he puts you in a place where you have sanity and you can walk through that day and smile and tell somebody, hello, how you having? You having a good day today? Am I talking right? So listen, this is good for you and I to hear, amen, because what God says, faithful and dependable, points to loyalty. That's what Jesus was looking for out of them boys. He said, listen, he said, can you be loyal? Mm-hmm. Loyal, you stick and you stay. Come on now. No matter what happens, you just stick and stay with God. See, God, listen, the Bible said, he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not how you start in God, it's how you finish in God. Is that all right? And we have to fight to finish well. Is that all right? Because I've had people, amen, that I've been walking side to side with, and all of a sudden they just lost their minds. And then I'm checking like, well, what did I do wrong? No, that's their own personal conviction. Amen. If they've been deceived, they allow the devil to deceive them. But you know what? I can't afford that. I've come too far to turn around. Amen. I've come too far to act like I don't know who God is. I've come too far to go back in my flesh, amen, pampering my flesh, worrying about the things of the flesh when I know I'm supposed to be in the spirit of his word. And you know what? Now I have to fight to stay in that place. And it's important for you and I to know, amen, being consistent, amen, means also that we're committed. I'm committed. I'm committed. You're committed. To walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. There's a song we used to sing back in the day, and it was talking about we're going to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. Through hard trials and tribulations. Yes, I am. See, when you make your mind up, amen, the storm doesn't dictate to change your decision because you've already made your mind up before the storm came. Glory to God. Come on now. Some people don't make their mind. And then the storm, amen, outside circumstance begin to influence them to change their decision. My God. But listen, that's why the Bible said put on the helmet of salvation. Because while we need our thoughts right, because when the storm comes, we should tell the storm, this too shall pass. Every storm cannot stay, my God, it can't stay in the realm of where God has you. That's why he said you will have trials and tribulations and testing, but he never said they were permanent. Oh, y'all better hear me today. So could it be every trial has an expiration date on it? Yeah, sometimes we go through things, you know, and we're like, God, I just want you to get, I need to get out of this. You know, I need, you know, he just said, hold on now. Hold on. He said, it's got an expiration date on it. Yeah. I said, well, can it be today? He said, no. He said, just hold on. Hold on. Tell your neighbor, said, just hold on now. Hold on. In other words, don't act crazy. Come on now. Come on. Don't get suicidal. Come on here now. Because what? It's going to pass. If you know it's going to pass, amen, it's good to give him thanks because when you know it's not going to stay where it is, it has to pass. This too shall pass. When I got sick last year, had to go to the hospital, had surgery, amen, everything I kept telling him, I said, this too shall pass. And the more I kept saying that, you know what God does when you begin to agree with him? He'll give you visions of you seeing yourself come out. The more I kept saying it, it got past my mind, now it got in my heart. And he will give you what? The desires of your heart. So I'm laying up in the bed, and I see myself, amen, driving in the car, amen, healed, amen, going down the road. He said, I'm giving you a picture of what it's going to look like, because this too shall pass. Yes. Woo, my God. And I got happy. I said, I put that in my arsenal. You know when you put it in your arsenal? You have to put it in your heart. And then you got to meditate on it. And I told myself, even when I was in the hospital, I kept confessing. Remember, your faith has to deal with what you believe. And you believe based upon your heart. With the heart and the mouth, they're attached together. So if you say you believe, it's going to come out your mouth. If it's attached to your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. If it's attached to your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. If it's attached to your heart, I'm past that part of trying to speak in what's in my mind. What's in my heart? So I told myself, I said, you know what? I'm going to be healed 10 times better than I was when I went in the hospital. I spoke that. And I'm walking it out right now. 10 times better. Ooh, glory to God. Somebody said, you got scripture for that? Yes, I do. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Amen. I was ordering up my own healing. I was ordering up. Amen. You know when you go to the restaurant, amen, they give you the menu and they let you make the order. Would be terrible if the cook had to make your order. No, we're serving chicken today. That's all you're eating is chicken. No, they give you the order, praise God, so you can use your authority to order what you want, what's on the menu. Jesus has already laid some stuff out, put it on the menu, praise God. Now he said, you need to confess it and order that thing. Make that thing come to me now in Jesus' name. I am healed now in ten times better in Jesus' name. Come on, am I talking right tonight? I'm getting happy already, praise God. Amen. Because God wants to, listen, if we don't learn how to talk, we can't receive what he has for us. We have to learn how to talk. It's easy to talk about things that are going wrong, but it takes faith to talk about things that you know is going to be right. And you will have what you say. And we may well not say what we think we see. We need to say what he says. And then say it enough to the degree to we believe it. And then we believe it enough, maybe he might show us some things, amen, that's going to come. Amen, because the Bible said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And when you're in love, my God, can I go there, Lord? Yes, he said, go there, glory to God. When you're in love, somebody say in love. When you're in love, amen, the object of your affection is not on you. It's on someone else in which you admired and you're looking at them. When I looked at my wife, amen, we was in junior high school. I was already dating one girl. And the girl that I was dating brought her friend, which was going to be my future wife. But when I looked at her, who I was dating, and looked at her friend, who was my future wife, I couldn't see her anymore. I kept seeing my wife. Because when you're in love, you lose sight upon everything. Come on now. Because it ain't about you and how you feel. It's about how they feel. You know, I would go places with her. I said, honey, you know, we were dating. She said, you know what? I like chocolate ice cream, but I don't like no chocolate ice cream. I don't like chocolate ice cream. But I never told her that, because when you were in love, I eat it because you eat it. Because what, you'll do some things out of love. Come on, because you ain't thinking. Love, because see, love, when you, oh yeah, I'm talking. When you're in love, you'll do some things that normally you're not thinking that it's work or it's duty. It's because you want to attach yourself to the affections of that other person. And you deny yourself because you're in love with that person. God wants us to get to that place where we rekindle our love for him. And it's not a job to get to church on Sunday, because I love him and I need to be around the saints. I'm attracted to go, oh, y'all hear me today. Praise God. I can go further than that, but I don't want to spend all the time talking about that, because y'all going to be all messed up. Praise God. But did you get that? Did you get that?
Yeah.
You have to understand, amen, that it said if we love him, because he says eyes have not seen. Then he said, ears have not heard. Then he said, it ain't even your heart. Then he said, the things that God has for those who love him. Could it be the more we fall in love with God, love with his word, love with the people of God, he starts unveiling the things that he has for us. The prerequisites to receive always follows instructions before you see the fulfillment of the promise. Does that make any sense? I'm getting too happy here. Amen. Let me see where I'm at. Oh, I'm good. All right, where are we going to go with this? Do I need to give a scripture? Yes. Go to Jude real quick. The book of Jude 1 and 3. Jude 1 and 3. Amen. See if we can't tie this up a little bit, put a bow on it. Tomorrow night, we're going to finish this thing out. Amen. Y'all don't want to miss tomorrow night. I got some stuff God gave me. I want to give it now, but I said, oh, no. He said, hold on, Ron. Hold on. But Jude, amen. In the book of Jude, it's interesting. In the book of Jude, Jude is the book right before Revelation. Right before Revelation. And it's interesting because really Jude closes out really the New Testament truths in terms of what God is saying that we need to do practical things that he said we need to do as believers and grow and mature and all those other things. When you get into Revelation, he's talking about the end times now. And Jude is an interesting book because the book of Jude, they were dealing with a lot of false doctrine. Right now, the enemy is trying to disrupt the air, twisting words, using ministers who have no relationship with God to twist people with words. When Jesus said, you know what, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, the Bible said the thief comes what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He has a ministry too. And that's to steal, kill, and destroy. But he does that through deception, but also he uses people ignorantly sometimes that don't even know they're being used to twist the truth. So he's telling them, amen, in the book of Jude, and this just go there. He's really exhorting them. He says, listen, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. Somebody said common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you, and he said, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Y'all hear that? Which was once delivered unto the saints. Now we know that this faith he talks about, it says that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So this faith, amen, is really designed to keep your faith in touch with God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Also we know, amen, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, amen, that you are saved through grace by faith. Somebody say, by faith. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The Bible said, how should they hear without a preacher? And how should a preacher preach except he be what? Sent. So how we hear is how we grow. How we hear It's how we grow. Could I say it this way? Amen. We know that the place of digesting for the physical comes through the mouth. How your spirit digests itself, it comes through your ear. In other words, if you want to grow your spirit, man, you can't take some potatoes and put them in your ear. It ain't gonna, no. Because faith come by and hearing by the what? So what he's simply telling them is that the word you hear, and once it gets in your heart, it's designed to grow. What's going to grow? Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to grow. I'm going to give it to you for free. It won't cost you anything. What's going to grow is three things that's going to grow. Now, when that faith gets in your ear, which is the word, it's going to get in your heart. It's designed to do three things. One, it's going to establish relationship, which is an inward work. An inward work. Somebody said inward work. The other thing it's going to establish is character. Someone say character. That's an inward work. The third thing it's going to do is going to manifest. The third thing is called obedience. Somebody say obedience. Obedience is an outward manifestation. That's what that is. You can't say you're obedient. Obedience is an outward manifestation. Is that all right? So when we hear the word, praise God, the word will now begin to take this formation in us in terms of building an inward work in this. The inward work has to deal with two areas, amen. It has to deal with your heart and your mind. Your heart. Your heart or your spirit and your mind. Now, the problem is that when God brings that word inside of us, the word is now supposed to infiltrate, take places in your heart and your mind and change them. He has to change how you think about yourself. Because the enemy, when he fights you, he's always going to attack you. How do you know that? When Jesus was tempted by the devil, you know what? The Bible says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Is that right? Then afterwards it says the tempter came. And the Bible says when he came, this is what he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, number one, he already knew he was the Son of God. See, the devil knows some things, but he's just checking whether you know. Because if you don't know, then he can deceive you in what you don't already know. So he said, basically he was telling Jesus, I need you to perform so I know who you are. If you perform, then I know who you are. And that's what's going on. People are performing, thinking because they perform, that's who they are. No, that's just what you do, but that's not who you are. So he was trying to get Jesus to be twisted mentally, but he's talking to the word that made flesh. He's talking about the word of God inside him, and the word ain't confused because the word writ the word, wrote the word, knows the word, know everything about the word. So now he knows exactly what he's trying to do. And he said, it is, and listen, the word put the word back on him. He said, it is written. Now this is powerful because when God tells him, it is written, or Jesus tells him it's written, he's now moving him to the government of God that cannot be questioned. It cannot be moved. It can't be debated over. It is what it is. And then God, he said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what the devil did, he changed the subject. Are you hearing me? Because what he's afraid of you and I to go back to what's written. Not what Bishop so-and-so said or who's on TV and so-and-so. When it all comes down, we do it, and you on the road by yourself, and there ain't nobody else around, and it's you and Jesus, you got to know some word inside of you. If you don't know anything, you said, Jesus saves. One time Peter was walking on the water. He didn't know anything else. All you know, he said, come on, Lord, if that's you bid me to walk on the water, and he started walking on the water, he didn't have a clue what he walked up in. He walked in a dimension, amen, that had to deal with the sovereignty of God's word ruling and holding up a man, amen. And the devil looked at him and said, oh, no, we ain't having this. We need an interruption right about now. And then the storm came. As soon as the storm came, what Peter? Peter, he didn't have a clue. Because if he had a clue what he was walking on, he would have never paid attention to the storm. He would have never looked at the storm. Because when you look at the storm, your reason, your intellect, and knowledge becomes like the storm. And now he's questioning whether or not he can even walk on the water. Now he's sinking. But praise God, when he was on that road by himself, he had one thing he knew that he had to call on. He said, Lord, save me. So it ain't how much you know, it's how much you're in relationship. Because God knows that cry from your heart. Amen. You may not know Hebrew, you not may know Greek, you may not be able to exegete the text, but if you know Jesus in your relationship, and he, this is my God, you call on him, he gonna show up. And listen, I like that. He showed up when he messed up. Peter messed up and Jesus still showed up. You can see the disciples on the boat. Oh, look at Peter walking on the boat. Oh my God, did you see Peter? Ooh, Peter. As soon as he fell, I told you, look at he in the water now. I told you. And then Jesus raised him up, and then they got quiet. Because God never looks at you as a failure. Why do you look at yourself as a failure? Why do you look at yourself as missed opportunities and missed events and past history when you look back and say, well, I could have been this and could have. No, you're right where you need to be in God right now. And you need to be thankful because even though, you know what, you didn't lose your mind, you didn't move to another city, praise God, you didn't act crazy, amen, you're still saving your sanity of your mind and God is still working on your behalf. There's will to do and your good pleasure inside of you and you need to thank God for where you're at, not where you think you ought to be, but where you are right now. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thank God that I am saved. Praise God. Come on here, somebody. I got about 10 minutes. Y'all better come on with me. Touch your name and say, come on with him. Praise God. We might not be happy about everybody else, but you got to be happy about what the conviction of what God's done in your heart. Don't forget what he done for you. Don't forget how far he brought you where you are. Quit looking back and look forward and give thanks because you know what? He said, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, neither has it entered our heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Listen, could it be God said, fall in love with me? Why divorce is so popular today, people are missing the art of falling in love over and over and over again. I've been married now 44 years, and I told my wife today, I can't tell you what I told her, because that's kind of private, you know what I'm saying? Glory to God. But what I told her was sweet enough to let her know that I miss her. Amen. Praise God. Because listen, when you fall in love with Jesus, it's not hard to get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for this day that you created and made. God, you just awesome. You know, God, you just do great things. You know, sometime I was sitting outside the hotel and I was looking at the tree, minding my business, looking at the tree, talking to the Lord. Then a little bird flew over there on the tree. I said, look at that bird. He's so pretty. And then my mind said, God created that bird. Sometimes we go through the day, we miss God's creation. Does that make any sense? Three things. I said three things. The word of faith in Christ will cause us to have focus. The focus is on three areas. Our relationship, which is our inward work. Our character is inward work. Our obedience also is the outward manifestation. Let me close with this. He tells them, you have to contend for the faith. In other words, you're going to have to fight your way to keep your faith. It's a fight. It's getting more of a fight now than it's ever been in your entire walking relationship with God. Because we're coming to the end of the ages of a dispensation that will change. And the enemy is trying to take everybody he can out of Christ, out of faith, out of the word. He's using all kind of mechanisms, all kind of mechanics, whatever he can do. But the thing about it, Jesus prayed for us. He said, upon this rock, my God, he said, I will build my church. He's talking about people in the very gates of hell will not prevail against them. In other words, hell will be all around us, my God, but it won't break the relationship that we have that God has put down inside of you. He said, those that I place in my hand, no man can pluck them out of my hand. He said, I know the very hair, amen, on your head if you still got some, praise God. If the hair follicles, amen, have closed up, he knows some hair used to be there, glory to God. Amen. God knows everything he needs to know about us, so he wants us to be encouraged to let us know it's not your faith that's going to get you through, but it's my faith. You putting your faith inside of me. Somebody say amen. So I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that God, amen, he is pleased with those who have done all they know to do, but they stand. Amen. And stand means we're in a position, amen, of uprightness. We have not lost our mind. We know that Jesus is still our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We know the battle is not ours. The battle is his. We know that our help comes from the Lord. When we weak, he makes us strong. Praise God. We know, amen, that even though things might be all around us, we know, amen, he will see us through because he will not let us in on a negative. The Bible said that be still and know that he is God. Sometimes you might not know what to do, but be still in your spirit. Don't let doubt creep up in your mind. Put your helmet of salvation on, amen. Put a word in your mouth and a word in your heart. Use the sword of the spirit and fight your way to a place of peace and encouragement, because depression is trying to roll over the minds of people, and we need to stand up and fight. I don't receive that today. I'm a child of God, amen. If I got to talk to myself to bring myself out of this situation, I'm going to do that, because I'm not going to sit here and die and forget all he's done for me, amen, all these years. He's too good to forget what he's done. And then it doesn't matter if I don't have any money. It matter if I don't have no place to live. He's still God, and I put my trust in him. That's the conviction. We got to put some gloves on. We got to say, devil, I'm going to fight back. I'm not taking this thing laying down, praise God. Because why? We're going to contend for the faith. Amen. To contend means you got to engage. He said, you already engaged. You need to engage back. What do you mean what I'm saying? The devil's already engaged. Sometimes he's talking to us. You need to talk to him back. Sometimes he says something to me. And you know it's a lie. Jesus said in John 8:44, he said, you are your father the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. The devil's whispering something, a lie to you. We don't say nothing. If anything, you just say, that's a lie. I took it a step further. I don't receive it. Did Jesus talk back to the devil? Yeah, he did. He said, it's written. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And he changed the subject. Talked about worship and temple. You bow down. All this I give you. Jesus listened to him. And finally, he said, when he talked about worship, first he talked about the kingdoms. You bow down, give you all these kingdoms and whatever. Then he talked about worship. Jesus said, that's it. He was mad then. He took him back to the world. This is what he told the devil. He said, it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord God, thy God, and only him shall you worship. He was telling the devil, you know, he said, you know. He said, listen, you may have lost your mind in the fall from heaven to earth, but you know that you are a fallen angel and your job is to worship. And we find it in the book of Job. I'm closing. My God, and God asked Satan, because every angel has to report into God. Somebody asked me, well, Satan, he can't go in the presence of God. I said, listen, he's a fallen angel. He got to report in like all the other angels. I didn't say he had to stay in heaven. He just got to report in. So he reports in. When the sons of men, it talks about the angels, they appear before God, and God's looking for a report. He looks out and he says, Satan. He said, where you been? That's an insult to injury. Because the devil can't tell the truth. But when he's in the presence of God, he got to tell the truth. He said, where have you been? You know, Satan in his mind said, you know where I've been. You cast me out of heaven. I've been down to earth. I've been walking up and down earth, seeking whom I may devour. He says, have you considered my servant Job? Now listen what the devil says after God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? By faith, he's in relationship with me. Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, I have. I've been walking down the earth and I didn't see, the only thing I can see is your glory on this man. And I get frustrated every day I see him. And I want to tear him apart. Yeah, I see him. He said, but I can't touch him because you got a hedge around him. And the angels encamped around those who fear him. You got angels around you. Oh, if God opened your eyes, you'll fall on the ground. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So angels are encamped. He said, if you remove the hedge, he said, if you give me permission, because he's talking to the king. So God said, okay, I'll give you permission. He said, you can touch the things that he has, but don't touch him. So Job wake up one day and chaos has just hit family, flock, kids, just a mess. But then the Bible said Job contends with his faith because he had a choice to make. Is he going to question God because of what all is going on? Or is he going to still trust God in the midst of what all is going on? That's sometimes you're contending in. You got to trust God regardless of what's going on. Then the Bible said that Satan came back up again. He said, all right, how you going with that? He said, well, I tore up his flock and kids and destroyed them. And he said, well, how's that going? Did he curse me? And he said, no, he cursed you. And then he said, well, can we up the ante a little bit? He said, let me touch him, and surely he'll curse you. But see, God knew that he put something in Job that the devil didn't know. See, there's some stuff in you the devil don't have a clue, because it's in the secret place. That secret place is the holiest of holies inside of you, which is your spirit in your heart. God has housed himself inside of you. And even though when Job was weak, God makes him strong. The Bible says, then finally, you know what happens? The Bible says he afflicts Job. He got boils all on his body. And it didn't move him because his spirit was in touch with God. Could it be as a place our spirit can be so empowered by God that our flesh doesn't even dictate to us anymore? And the Bible says that after all that took place, and then the accusation comes from his friends and all that. And then, you know, I can see the devil come back. He's coming up for his report again, like. And God said, you have shot your best shot. Because what the devil don't understand, that he wants to keep us from not understanding, that we're under the government of God. We're under his protection. And regardless of what might look like in the natural, he restored sevenfold what was lost. Could it be that some of us need some restoring, some sevenfold restoring? Can I pray that for I leave today? Amen. There's some things that you've walked through, been through, but you know what? It's time to get paid. Amen. It's time for God what? To turn it around. Amen. Lift your hands up with me for a minute and just do like this and say, turn it around. Turn around. That's a prophetic gesture that we need God just to turn it around. And in that turning around, you know what happened with Job? God had to do something in him. Then he had to do something with his body. Then he had to deal with something with his mind. He had to deal with his flock and his kids and his wife. He had to do all, he had to turn it around. Listen, we're living in a place right now, if we have faith for it, God can turn it around. Just bow your head with me for a word of prayer, and I'm going to let you go tonight. Ask the pastor to come up in just a minute. Father, we just pray for a divine turnaround today. Some of these people of God have been through the ringer. They've been through the ringer, I'm telling you. They have stood, amen. Some people have even walked away from them and questioned their ability, whether or not they're in you. But Lord, we believe according to your word, amen, that you will repay those, amen, that walk with you. And you said those who put their trust in you will not be put ashamed. And I prophetically call forth a turnaround, a divine turnaround in the areas where we've been tempted and tested and tried, God. Areas, amen, that has restricted us from having the finances or the resources we need or the health that we need or the friends that we need. Amen. We need a divine turnaround. We've already prophetically turned our hands around, God. And I'm speaking right now and I'm declaring right now that the divine turnaround starts tonight, God. There's some things that are going to come forth even this week, this month, even before the end of this year, that we're going to see you turn some things around, God. Because the turning around is when you get involved, because now it's time for the enemy to stop what he's doing. Amen. Amen. To back up so that the glory of God can rest upon the people of God. So I thank you today. in the name of Jesus, because I'm declaring a divine turnaround, amen, in our homes, in our relationships, amen, even our finances, God, in our health and our healing and our children and grandchildren. I'm asking for a divine turnaround, God. I'm asking that you come, amen, reward those, amen, who've been in the heat of the battle and where the enemy has whispered to them and said it's not worth anything. Turn that thing around, God. Turn it around in a way that we will be astonished. That the turning and turning in our heart. Let it turn in our mind. Let it turn in our confession, God. Let it turn in a way that the fire of God will burn out all the things of the past and bring forth something that's new that has never been there before. So we speak it and we declare it today in the name of Jesus that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we will see the glory and the goodness of God being manifest in our life in this lifetime. And we speak it today. We declare it today, God. We say it's so today. We say it shall come to pass even today, God. We use it by speaking, amen, according to your will. It shall be done, God. And Lord, we forever give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it being done now by in the name of Jesus. And if you're in agreement with that, stand on your feet and give God some praise right about right now, because we believe the divine turnaround has already begun tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, God, and we give you honor and glory and praise, God. We thank you, amen, that check's coming in the mail, God, that approval that's coming, amen, that new job that's coming, amen, that new relationship's coming. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing and deliverance today. In the name of Jesus, we say make it so, God. Oh, I feel the power of God working and moving right now. God, open up the heavens over this ministry, over this city, God. God, invade, and cause it to be a turnaround, God. Kick the devil right out where he belongs, God, and show forth your glory in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, we give you glory. Oh, we give you honor, God. Oh, we give you praise, God. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, God, that you've made it so, God, that you made it so, God, that you made it so. We thank you that you made it so, God. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Hallelujah, we thank you, God. Andabasha, andabasha. Hey, glory to God. Oh, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, he's turning it around. He's turning it around inside of you, praise God. You're going to see things differently. You're going to think differently. Amen. Goodness is going to override your mind. Amen. You'll be trying to be stuck on negative, and the Holy Ghost is going to move upon you and change your mindset and change your way you see things. Amen. All by his counsel right now. We speak it, we declare it, and say it so even now in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is so. Yeah.